The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you for choosing to spend a little time with me here this morning. So this week, I'm going to talk a little bit more technical. It seems like what happens is I get in runs of kind of talking about a lot of other stuff other than orthopedics, but I guess that keeps the show a little bit more interesting. It would be hard, I think, just to listen to me drone on about orthopedics every week. And I do appreciate those of you who are listening. And again, you know, like I said, it's always a fun thing when I meet a listener. And, you know, it just makes, especially in the clinic, it just makes that first interaction really, really neat, because you have this. I mean, I know that if you listen and you listen regularly, you kind of know a lot about me and you have a pretty good idea of who I am and what I'm about and all kinds of little details. So it just kind of makes it fun. But today we'll talk more about the shoulder. And the reason that I tell the farmers, you know, I've said this a bunch of times, you know, don't ignore especially shoulder pain, right? And, you know, if you ignore knee pain, you know, first of all, it's good not to ignore pain. You should, if you have pain that's bad enough that you're taking medicine for it, you should get checked. But if you're ignoring shoulder pain, it's like I've said before, if it's the rotator cuff, a small rotator cuff tear is a small problem, and a big rotator cuff tear is a big problem, and a massive rotator cuff tear is a massive problem. And so you wouldn't necessarily know if you had a large tear. Some people can actually function relatively well with a large tear. It's strange, but there are some people that can function relatively well. Although once you start to really examine them in the office, it becomes apparent that they usually will have some weakness that they didn't even really know about because they're not doing that particular motion. And then when you show it to them, oh, wow, yeah, I guess I have noticed that. But the shoulder, especially because of the anatomy of it, it's a very complex joint, because as opposed to the hip, where gravity is holding the hip together, right, and gravity is holding the knee together, it's actually muscles and tendons is holding the shoulder together, because gravity would, your arm would just drop off if there was nothing holding it. So that's one of the reasons it's such a complex joint, is because it's so dependent on ligaments and tendons and muscle actions to have it hold in properly. And the thing about it is, so the rotator cuff are the small interior muscles that move the shoulder. So the large exterior muscles would be like your deltoid. That's the muscle you can actually touch when you touch your shoulder. The lats in the back, and the pecs up front, which if you've ever been a weightlifter or know anything about weightlifting, those are muscle groups that weightlifters like to make hypertrophied with repeated uses so they can look real good. And the deeper layers, the rotator cuff, those are the ones that tend to get injured. Now, the cuff is a cuff of tendons, is what it is. So it's all of these muscles are broad muscles. It's the supraspinatus, the infraspinatus, the teres minor, and the subscapularis, if you care to know the names of them. But those are the four muscles that make up the rotator cuff, and they primarily rotate and elevate the shoulder. And they do so with broad tendons. Some tendons in your body are narrow and cord-like. For instance, the tendons that move your fingers, they're sort of narrow and cord-like. They flatten out towards the end a little bit, but they're pretty well just cord-like structures. Whereas the rotator cuff, these tendons are broad. So, and if you feel your Achilles tendon, you can feel that it's not really, really, it's somewhere in between sort of being cord-like and being broad. This would be broader than that in general. So many times wider than it is thick, just like a sheet or a cuff. And so the blood supply at the point where the supraspinatus, which is named because it's above the spine of the scapula. The scapula is a shoulder blade, and it has a little spine on the back of it. If you've ever seen a shoulder blade, it's not flat on the back. There's just a little spine of bone going across it. So the supraspinatus goes above that, and the infraspinatus goes below that, and the subscapularis goes underneath the front of the scapula. And so the blood supply of the supraspinatus, which is the one that tears most frequently, it's not a perfect blood supply. In other words, so it doesn't have as many small vessels heading into the tendon as you would in other parts of the tendon. Right where it inserts onto the bone, it has less of a blood supply. It's called a watershed blood supply because it's kind of like, well, they liken it to a watershed, sort of an area where there's flow into it and there's flow out of it, but you really can hardly perceive the flow when you're looking at it. So like a wetland kind of a thing. And because of that and the significant stresses that are put on that area by motion of the shoulder, that's where the rotator cuff tends to tear. And if it's a small partial thickness tear, I've been over this, the first thing we would do is if you have shoulder pain and you come in to see me, if you're coming to see me most of the time, you've seen another doctor, but not always. Let's say you're coming to see me and you have not seen another doctor for this shoulder pain. You're going to get an x-ray and an examination, and you know, depends on what's happened in your history. How long has it been hurting? Has it been hurting for 2 or 3 years? Well, if it's been hurting that long, I'm usually going to get an MRI on the first visit. And if it's not been hurting for a very long time, but you had an injury, I'm definitely going to get an MRI the first visit. If it's hurt for 2 or 3 weeks and you haven't had any treatment, oftentimes I'll send you for physical therapy, maybe give you an anti-inflammatory medication like a Motrin, ibuprofen, something in those lines. I'm very, very hesitant to give an injection in the shoulder without having seen an MRI first. So you get the x-ray, we see that you don't have any arthritis. Now, arthritis, you can have a little arthritis in, so the shoulder joint really is the glenohumeral joint. That's what we're talking about when we're very technical. It's the glenohumeral joint. So that means the ball and the socket. But there's also attached the scapula, or the shoulder blade, attaches to the collarbone by a little joint that just has a little bit of a rotational motion in it, not a lot of motion at all. And you can have some arthritis in there, but that's not the same as having shoulder arthritis. Oftentimes people are confused. They say, oh, I have arthritis in my shoulder, but it's not really in the ball and socket joint. So that's a big difference. So it's called the acromioclavicular joint, because the acromion is the part of the scapula that attaches to the clavicle. So acromioclavicular, that means collarbone, shoulder blade joint. And again, if it has some arthritis in it, if that's where the pain is coming from, we can do some stretching. It can give you a cortisone injection, those kind of things into that little joint. Now, moving down directly below that is the ball and socket joint of the shoulder, which is the glenohumeral joint. And if you've come in and I have determined that I would like to give you an injection, like so let's say you've had 3 or 4 months of pain, you tried some exercises, nothing worked, we would either do a little bit of formal physical therapy or go ahead and get an MRI. And again, that can be age dependent, because if you're 35 the chances that you have a rotator cuff tear are pretty slim if you've not had a pretty significant injury. If you're 75 and you've had 3 or 4 months of pain, it's reasonable to think that you have a tear. Now, when we get the MRI, and let's say, for instance, you have a small partial thickness tear, so this tear doesn't go through the whole tendon sheet. So you could just think of it as a fraying rope, a little bit of a fraying rope. So if it's not all the way through, then we still would treat that without surgery. The first thing that we would do is physical therapy, and what we're trying to do with that, with a physical therapy program, is to stabilize the shoulder using all of the other muscles. These muscles become what are called dynamic stabilizers. So there's static stabilizers, and those are the ligaments, and the ligaments attach bone to bone. You have a inferior and a superior and a middle glenohumeral ligament, so goes from the humerus or the ball to the glenoid or the socket, and there are other attachments as well that hold it together. And if you are having some tearing in the rotator cuff, and it's usually going to be the supraspinatus, and if it's a partial tear, well, like I said, we can strengthen that up with physical therapy, and you may never need surgery. It all depends on if your symptoms get better. Now, with this partial thickness tear, if your symptoms don't get better, well, you then can end up needing some surgery. And probably one of the coolest things that has come along in the last 10 years is the use of biological scaffolding. The one that I use is called Regeniten, and this is what I had done in my shoulder. And what it does is it induces healing. It's actually made of cow Achilles tendon, processed cow Achilles tendon, because it's the same material called collagen that your own tendons are made of. And so I use a scope and just a couple small holes, and we look around the shoulder, make sure nothing else is going on in there, and then we can put the Regeniten patch on, and then you're only in a sling for 48 hours. Now, the other way of treating that, if you've gotten to the point where you have a partial thickness tear, but it's not all the way through, there's a couple other surgical ways of treating that. And if you've failed the physical therapy, one of the surgical ways of treating it is just what we call debriding it. So we just kind of trim away the bad edges. And you would only do this if it's, you know, say it's 30% torn, as opposed to, you know, if it's 70 or 80% torn, then you would do the next operation. So one of the issues I have with that is that you've got a diseased tendon, and then you're taking away more of it by freshening up the edges, and then you've not made that tendon any stronger at all. And that's why I like the Regeniten. The other option is if it's, you know, more of like 70 or 80% torn tendon, you can, what we'll do is we'll complete the tear. So we basically cut through all, until it goes all the way through, and then put an anchor. And there are different types of anchors, but they basically go into the bone, and they have sutures, or basically strings, on them. And we tie that tendon down to the bone where it's supposed to sit. And then the bone and the tendon will heal together, and you'll have a strong tendon. But you have to be in a sling for 6 weeks. You can start some therapy, but you're pretty well in the sling for 6 weeks, because it needs, in order for that to heal properly, it just needs to not move. And especially if you're moving your shoulder intentionally, you can just ruin the repair. So that would be the next step up. And the next step up is a full thickness tear. And then those, you know, a small full thickness tear, oftentimes you can fix with one anchor. If it's a bigger tear, you just start using more anchors. And then once you get to the point where it's no longer fixable, and we refer to this as a massive tear. So over 5 centimeters of tearing is a massive tear. And most of those will not be fixable just by pulling the tendon, because there's just a hole. There's a big hole in the tendon, and there's just not enough tendon tissue there. So if you can get it partially fixed, that is an option. You can do a partial repair, and then also you can put the Regeniten on there. The problem is those, they have a high failure rate if you're repairing a massive tendon tear, and it's worth doing even if it is kind of a high failure rate, because there's one last option before you start doing a joint replacement, and that is to do what's called a superior capsular reconstruction, where we use a human donated graft that's actually thick skin, and we put that in from the top of the ball to the top of the socket. And so that allows your shoulder to function normally after a while. I do tell patients that have had that operation that you probably don't want to really, really, really test it any more than you really have to. But it does give you a fully functional shoulder. The superior capsular reconstruction, those can fail as well. And once you've failed the superior capsular reconstruction, the only thing you can do left is called a reverse total shoulder replacement. And that's where we replace the shoulder and we put the ball where the socket used to go and put the socket where the ball used to go. So we just flip it, we reverse it. Thus the name reverse total shoulder. And this is a very successful operation. However, it has a fair amount of limitations. When I say it's successful, it gets rid of the pain and it restores some motion. Usually you'll get about 80% of the motion back in your shoulder, somewhere in that area. And you will have some strength, whereas you may not have before due to the lack of the rotator cuff. But you're limited to lifting about 30 pounds, 35 pounds for the rest of your life. And there's conflicting studies reporting whether or not this thing is going to last a long time. So I prefer to really only allow that operation to be done really 75 years old or older. It used to be that was sort of hard and fast rule, and now people are starting to put them in younger patients because there are some studies showing that with the newer designs they do last longer. But there's, you know, and if you completely have a dysfunctional shoulder, in other words, you can't even lift it up, and let's say you're 55 and you can't lift your shoulder, well, you know, this would be probably the operation to do. The problem is eventually it's probably going to wear out. I don't think anybody thinks that these things are going to last 30, 35 years. So if you got 15, 20 years out of it, well, then you're 75, and then now you have this big failed joint replacement in there, and it's really hard to do anything with it. So we try to avoid the reverse total shoulder unless it's in a preferably an older than 75 years old, lower demand patient. But it's still an option out there. And, you know, so I just kind of wanted to kind of go over, at least on some level, the complexities of the shoulder, just the anatomy and the surgical decision making. It can be complex because, you know, oftentimes there's just not a great answer. Most of the time, if you have knee arthritis and you're not getting better, you can get a knee replacement, and most of the time they do quite well. And the decision tree is not as big because it doesn't have as many branches on it, because there's just not that many different options. So, and that's kind of why I like the shoulder, because there are so many options. But it is a very complex joint, and it is easy to underestimate how difficult all these things can be on the patient. And that's why I really tell people, hey, if your shoulder hurts and it's been hurting for more than a month or two, I would get it checked. So very good, and I hope everybody is having a wonderful fall, and I will be back next week. You have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.